explain what just happened.
That was wonderful.
Hello and welcome to Please Won't You Shut Up, a Star Trek Picard podcast. I'm your girlfriend who lives in Canada, Mickey Alexa.
I'm your imaginary boyfriend from the internet, Blake.
And I'm your smoldering quarter side.
Quarter side.
And that Fred Robertson.
There we go. And that bizarre sound that you can hear in the background are dogs.
Dogs eating chips they were not supposed to have.
Yeah. So, anyway, this is a spoiler-free podcast, 3 episodes after the episode we are talking about. So despite having seen a few episodes ahead, again...
Listen, it wasn't our fault. We got stormed out and
it's
potentially
true.
Coronavirus, so yeah.
Pandemics may pause the podcast. We won't be jumping forward on the timeline and ruining the fun.
Mm-mm.
Today we are talking about Stardust City Rag.
Great title.
Excellent title.
I liked it.
Fun episode.
Very
fun. Fun bottle.
Fun
like
bottle,
a fun,
yeah.
Like location, like let's,
super
let's go somewhere, let's play characters,
yeah.
Because we have to.
Yeah.
It was super fantastic. Yeah, oh
yeah.
My god.
Drugged up captain. He was lovely.
It was really one thing that this show does again and again are just like fantastic little sequences that make sense, are ridiculous, and are very satisfying.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Raffi reminded me of Guinan in so many parts of this.
Yeah.
Like, she just walked up and was like, I'm really living this moment, and hey, I made a couple mistakes, and it's nice to see a Starfleet officer fall.
True, but...
in the strongest way possible.
We're getting ahead of ourselves, because we have to talk about the reason why this is the one episode that I haven't rewatched yet of
yeah.
the season, despite thinking it was an amazing episode.
So, we will go through the episode chronologically, and it begins...
That
sadness.
Opening was devastating.
Yeah.
Devastating. They ripped open, tortured, and murdered for parts to sell.
I was not expecting, yeah.
Tore him to parts, which, well, he was still alive. That was brutal. And I, you know, he was a late addition to Voyager, and like,
yeah.
I was of the right age to love Voyager at the time when it was on. And then they introduced a character who was almost of an age with me, so of course I want to watch this guy.
Yeah.
And then that happens to him. I'm like, oh,
right.
Oh, Icheb, that was so harsh. That was... But... And I know there's some people
needed.
Who are mad about it. Well, this is the thing. It's like...
It
I know some people are like,
drive.
Oh, yeah, give Seven, like, some gravitas. Oh, wow, like, she couldn't have been interesting without that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But I think more than that, we've gotten hints before that space outside of the Federation is often a rough place. And now this is, like, the neutral zone, which was always kind of mysterious anyway.
Yeah.
It's
but it's the neutral
surrounded.
Zone has opened up and simultaneously gone completely to shit.
Yeah.
And it is brutal and awful and horrifying, so they have to make the stakes
yeah.
high, but... Oh, but they tore each up to pieces.
Oh, it was really brutal.
I can't rewatch that.
But
I can't rewatch any Voyager episodes of each up right now either. I tried it.
No, I find them so much more interesting because like there's the one where you actually when we watched this, you turned around and said to me, "There's like there is no cortical node." You turned to me and you were like...
Oh, well, we were watching it. Yeah, of course.
You're like,
I threw out that little Easter
egg.
And I was
there.
Like, it's
yeah.
Egypt,
it was like
making it out for fun.
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. No, that was nasty.
Yeah, that butcher
well
that was working on
nasty.
Him was, like, soulless. Like, the
yeah.
worst.
Oh, my God.
Like,
and
just...
I'm sorry, if that's the Star Trek that we would have gotten with the director...
Oh, Quentin Tarantino.
I don't want it.
I always thought that was a weird mix to... Float anyway, but
not because
yeah,
not nice. Because it wouldn't be good, but because it doesn't fit.
No, yeah.
Like it just doesn't fit.
Nothing
and
about
that mm-hmm. showed me it.
Mm-hmm. What he should have done instead oh, is much like he did with Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, is it should be about filming Star Trek. He should have
yeah.
done a movie about William Shatner and Leonard Nimoy.
Oh my God!
Yeah,
that would have
yes.
been great.
Right,
like a behind the scene, not behind the scenes, but like a story of the life of the things that are happening around this.
Exactly, include some crazy shit, and of course, make some stuff up because it's Tarantino.
Yeah, it was the '60s.
Yeah,
It was the 60s.
And then he gets to literally remake classic Star Trek, which is what I think he actually wants to do.
Oh, yeah.
You know? So, anyway, back on Free Cloud.
Yeah, what happened after they broke my heart?
Yeah, but oh, Jay-Z,
the Hollow. We get the Hollow ads.
Oh, yeah, we did, yeah.
Those were the most fun things.
The targeted Hollow ads.
You basically had real-life pop-ups.
Yeah.
Which, how embarrassing could that potentially be?
Incredibly!
Oh my god.
And they were for Raffi because they were all related to drugs.
Yeah, yeah, they were like, hey bitch, come and smoke some snake weed or whatever. Like
what if you're really into a fetish and like...
Yeah, exactly.
Woo! But why was the doctor's a robot punching her?
I know. I was wondering about that.
Because she's having a moment where she's feeling super weak, and she's generally a weak and meek person anyway, I think. Plus, she's a robotics person.
And
so.
She's terrified and angry, and she, you know.
I have so much goddamn stuff to say about her, but we have to.
We
have to get to the
end
of the
episode. There is a boiling underbelly to her entire character.
It's peeking out there. Yeah. I like how what is the Romulan
Space Legolas?
Yeah, Space Legolas. I love how he doesn't get one because like he's lived in a monastery.
I love him. He's hysterical. I knew I was gonna like him, but he's great.
He's a Romulan Jerry Seinfeld because he just
what?
No, but he just like. This thing happens.
He's very observational.
Like,
it's true.
Like,
yeah.
Just like
yeah.
says the thing.
Yeah.
I'm like, you're right.
Yeah.
He's like, so everybody's pretending, and he looks at like everybody who's. I was like, you get life, and I love you.
Speaking of everybody pretending, Picard was amazing.
Oh god, I love
it. But so self-hating.
So self-hating. I love it. Finally hearing a French accent.
Yeah, it was about time.
That was great.
That was great. It was better than his. It was better than his French at the opening episode.
Oh my Jesus Christ! But Jay-Z, who looks just like Troy.
Babe Troy.
If she was like
season one Troy.
Yeah, evil. With season one Troy fashion sense. As
yeah,
well.
Hair
like
updo,
the jeweled infinity like helix.
Yeah,
I was just like, so you are. Troy.
Yeah, I'm surprised that they cast someone who looked that much like Troy, and it wasn't a thing.
Yeah,
that was surprising. But she's holding Maddox at her bar to sell to the Tel Shiar because he's fucking worth money.
Mm-hmm.
She's not really connected to the overall plot. She's just a greedy bitch. So Picard and Co. come up with the plan to. Pretend to sell them to sell her seven.
Yeah.
So that means that Picard gets done up as Le Pirate du Dread Picard.
Oh, so good.
And Rios becomes Red Light Rios.
Rios was great.
He was.
I
fantastic.
Love the feather where it's just like one moment you see him in a pimp suit.
Yeah.
The next scene you see him in a pimp suit with a fucking.
The aesthetic for all of them was,
but like it was the perfect like.
Well, not only that, but it's led in with someone I can't remember. I think it's Jurati looks at him and goes, "It needs something. You need a feather in your hat." And she's not being literal. But the answer is a literal feather in the hat. It's just a fun little transition between scenes.
This is the point in the episode where she had her first. What is the nature of your psychological emergency? Because she had a couple of.
Yeah,
I. Love that touch.
Yeah.
I love that little touch that the sensors on the ship, you know, of course, would be able to tell then you're having a heightened level of freaking the fuck out. What is the nature of your psychological emergency? That would be fucking helpful.
It's fantastic.
It's like,
it really is.
Can I help you right now? What's going on?
Which makes a lot more sense later on why she's having such a psychological emergency. Yes. She's not just a super nervous Nelly.
But
Although she kind of is anyway. So
yeah, I kind of like them playing her as super nervous Nelly on top of that.
Yeah.
But also, nerds in space don't do well.
Yeah, yeah. No. Well,
like,
I was fascinated
like, put a nerd
that
in
she
space.
Said,
oh, she didn't say it this episode.
Oh, you're right. Nope.
Yeah. Well, it's a small giveaway.
She's a little bit Barclay. She reminds me of Barclay in her
Sorry
fault.
To tell
Barclay. Very Barclay. No, it's very important. I will hold off on it. We will get to that.
It is an interesting character note, though. It
exactly.
Stuck out for me too.
You can see quite a few things in her. Anyway.
Well, we're just being annoying. She's never been off Earth before.
Yeah, she's never been off Earth. And it's like,
Which seems wild, like, right? It seems like...
Why wouldn't you have at least gone to, like,
I've never been out of Canada before, and you're like, oh, is it, like, an economic thing? Like, that's understandable, but too bad, because it's really, you know...
Yeah.
None of us have gone around the world, but, like, it's nice to get out there a little bit.
And also, like, a teleporter on Earth
and that's, like, you know, one tiny planet, you can go anywhere you want. Oh, yeah. My God.
But, yeah, surely they could teleport to the moon, like, with all the tech that that they show off now and then, like, oh, long-distance beaming. It's like, it's the moon. It's just right there.
You really should be able to, but I bet there's, like, some stupid reason why they don't.
Yeah.
And it could have something connected with Mars, the Mars attack, which I think it's hilarious.
Every time I think about
involved,
Mars attack.
Yeah, like, yeah. I now think about Star Trek and Mars attack. And the, like, grade school moment when everybody's like, that thing that happened.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
And I was like, what strings are you pulling on?
No idea what you're talking about.
You kind of the last string. At the end.
Yep.
So they trade over Seven after Picard insults Seven repeatedly and, like, sells her, like, wares.
That was brutal, though, because was all, like, self-directed.
It was incredible.
Ex-Borg monstrosity. You can't trust this fucking robot. Blah, blah. Like, soulless killing machine assimilated billions. Like, oh, shit. Okay.
Yeah.
Get it all out there.
It was fantastic. This whole thing's been a terrific performance by Patrick Stewart, but that was a fantastic performance.
That's
by
why
Patrick
it was so
Stewart.
Believable.
That really brought all of the enjoyment from Voyager and Seven of Nine forward.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, oh, you were just a really fun actress that stumbled upon a really cool thing as it was ending. And, like, not in a shady
midway
way.
Through.
Well, like, she... No, but, like, she...
She's there from season four.
No, but, like, compared to Aitchip.
But, like, she came into the cast midway and just kind of ended it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah, she...
And, like, she
and
got,
then, yeah, we didn't see her in Star Trek or any... of her in Star Trek for, yeah, what, 20 years?
No.
Yeah.
And, like,
or no,
for her to come back as, like,
still,
I'm sorry,
yeah.
Borg Texas Ranger.
Yeah,
Texas
super fun.
Ranger.
Like, she's just kind of like, you got a problem? Can I have some guns? I have to go.
Yeah.
Like, which I think, oh, yeah, I was thinking about this earlier. That says a lot of negative shit about the Federation as far as I'm concerned. Because, like, Seven got indoctrinated in the little hermetically sealed Voyager environment to believe that the Federation would be, you know, the Federation at its best. Like, we're all striving to get home because home is so great. And then she gets there. Shit gets kind of fucked up. And she's been in the Rangers for, like, didn't she say, like, quite a long ass time now? She's basically been in the Rangers for, like, over a decade.
She's been in there at least as long as Aitchip has been dead, and Aitchip died 13 years before the show.
Shit, okay.
Yeah.
So, like, the Federation is such hot trash that she got back and fucked off out of it to the chaotic neutral zone to
protect
a bunch of Fujis, like...
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
I think the destruction of
something happened
Romulus
in the Federation,
really,
something...
The destruction of Romulus and then of Mars definitely was just, like, a 1-2 punch.
Yeah, you know? I think so.
It knocked them the fuck out.
If
know?
Only I could think of a real-world example of a country starting to immediately
oh
fall
God.
Apart after a massive terror attack. Yeah.
So, Bajazi recognizes Seven, and Seven's just like, ah, I'm bored of this. I'm here to kill her.
There were a lot of bisexual overtones in this,
oh,
right?
Lots
like, that was
of
pretty
them.
Clearly painted.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think there's going to be they would have had some fun, and then they would have tried to kill each other if they were alone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I'm also for, like, Star Trek lore. Like, a Deanna Troi character in Seven of Nine is kind of perfect.
Oh, you know,
yeah.
Somebody's shipped those two already? That's happened. There's some slash fiction out there.
Oh, there's gotta be. I mean, you know,
Seven attends a Betazoid wedding. Ooh.
I mean, Slash was created from Star Trek, so. It got me, come on.
No, I was just like.
To bone go.
Sorry.
Where
all
nobody
the slash
has
I've
gone
before.
All the slash I've read, slash I've read.
You want to make Harry Kim interesting? Have him get really aggressively sodomized by Chakotay.
Yes!
Oh, that's not where I thought that was going.
Not Paris.
Oh,
Paris was...
Paris? No!
No.
Chakotay,
just like...
You might as well have him get fucked by Neelix. Like,
no,
ew.
No, no.
Chakotay would at least run his hands through his hair.
He would, right? Yeah.
Oh,
see, you can see it. Chakotay would be, like, rough but romantic.
Yeah.
Some good old R&R.
What's the Klingon's name? What was
Oh, Torres?
Torres, yeah. No, it's Torres was with a strap on, obviously.
Gross. Not having it. Not having it at all. No. Torres and Tom were fine. Someone had to make Tom interesting.
Oh, yeah, but, like, she obviously was the one who fucked in that relationship.
Chakotay so fucked. Probably. Yeah. Oh, guaranteed, yeah. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. Good for him. I'm glad he's open-minded and opened... anus.
I'm gonna go work on my car, and he just kind of like hobbles off.
This is becoming an analysis of a completely different Star Trek episode now.
Anyway,
one that I'm sure exists.
Oh my god. They managed to trade because Seven's gonna kill everyone who is evil.
They're the whole commodification of freed Borgs too is so depressing and distressing. Like, yeah. It makes sense, but it's like she's Bejazel's excited to cut Seven apart and so.
Oh yeah, like she's been doing it for so long. Seven explains that Bejazel is the one 13 years ago who bought or sold or had operated on Ichib.
Mm-hmm.
So like very direct. One-to-one, yeah. Must kill her for Ichib. And so immediately your interest in this character just nosedives because it's just like
I wanted that bitch dead immediately. Yeah. I was, you know what? I'm still not sure if I'm criticizing the Ichib decision or not. I don't think I am. I think it did work, but like, oh, you want to manipulate my emotions like effectively? Go ahead. I hated that character. She
but
needed
also
to
poor
die.
Ichib, he was bred,
yeah,
for killing Borg, and
we
then was
long...
killed for being Borg. And it's just like, you have had the shittiest.
Oh,
life.
Yeah.
Nikki and I had the longest message thread back and forth that started with how Ichib was, like, born and bred to be a Borg killing virus, died getting hacked up for pieces to sell on the open market.
Yeah.
And in the middle, he had to spend time with Neelix.
Yeah. That's
it's just
life.
The worst
and
life.
That's his life. Yeah.
Yeah. But not together, because that's a great
Paris.
Character, but separate.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that was his life.
Yeah.
And those fucking children.
Tuvix should have stayed.
Tuvix
was great.
It was better.
And getting rid of Tuvix is murder.
That it is.
It's a form of murder.
It's straight up murder.
Bejazel, every time I say that, I actually have to look at the word again.
I keep thinking of Vajazzled every time
everyone
I hear
says
name.
That.
Yeah.
Because it, yeah, no, it's very true.
Vajazzled. Yeah.
And she looks like the kind of person who
she would have a Vajazzled.
God, yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it would be one of those purple crystals, and it would always be shot in soft light, just like her whole Deanna Troy-ness.
Yeah, she's
like
just that's where her chakra is.
Yeah.
Hey, as long as the male Starfleet officers wear miniskirts, I'm down.
There you go.
They
should bring some of those
one.
Back.
That season one, I'm sorry, there's a couple scenes I was like, hi.
Oh, did we talk over the part where Raffi meets her?
We haven't gotten to that yet.
Okay.
We're going to right after we finish this this scene. So because Seven's like, I'll just fucking kill you, and Picard is like, or we could not kill you, and you could just give us Maddox, and we'll go the fuck away. And she's like, fine.
That was, as soon as that happened, I was just like, first of all, Picard, you're wrong. There are moments, I'm sorry. And this is one of them.
Yeah.
But also, I was like, Seven's gonna come back and correct.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, God,
don't you worry.
Seven doesn't leave. Things behind.
Yeah. Seven's badass and not
Seven
in a way that I mind.
Yeah,
cleans
no.
up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like
yes.
she's like, oh no,
I'm excited.
We need this done.
She dots eyes.
Oh, we can't talk about it yet.
Crosses T's.
Yeah.
We'll get to it though.
Man, I feel like we're gonna undersell this episode because I'm so excited about
the
all three
ones.
Of these episodes that we're gonna be like these three episodes are gonna be great, but we're kinda gonna be rushing through how awesome this episode was because this was this, as much as I was upset, this is probably the best episode at this point that's aired yet. This
absolutely.
Was a stupendous episode.
Yeah.
Super
really,
fun, super colorful, beautiful, lots of little Easter eggs.
I think, like,
and
you're off-world. You're,
yeah.
You're getting
no, it wasn't a bunch of time spent on the Borg cube watching What's-Her-Face get taken advantage of by a spy, for fuck's sakes. Like,
yeah, which, like, is also fun, but this is a lot more fun.
Yeah. Plus, they were in A Quarks. It's been franchised.
I know. I love that.
That was a nice touch.
Good for you, Quark.
Oh, and the Mr. Mott was that?
Yes,
the,
Mr.
Yes,
Mott.
The hair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sure, like, if you could translate some of those other languages, it's there'd be more stuff. Eggs,
yeah. I that scene in the bar, I know I keep distracting away from it on tangents, but no, it was fantastic. It was really well done, but you knew that Seven was not going to let that bitch live.
Oh,
not
God, after that. No. Not after once that you find out, you're just like, oh.
You could see her heartbeat.
Yeah.
The way she looked, and I was like, okay. It was her child. It was her child. Like, she has his cortical node. Still.
Yeah. Yeah.
Still.
Yeah. So as this is all happening, we find out why Raffi was being all secretive and wanted to go to Free Cloud. She meets up with her son, Gabriel, who is estranged.
Raffi, that actress is officially ageless. I'm like, I can't place you in any...
Oh, God.
No. No. You can be 20, you can be 60, you can be anywhere in between. I have no idea. You're really cool She's looking and fantastic. Interesting. You're super fun to watch as an actress. You're great.
Yeah.
But, like... And this, you showed up with an adult son, and I was like, oh, okay, I guess, like, sure. Wow.
Yeah. And
you're well-preserved.
She plays hurt and devastated so very well.
True.
Oh, my God, this was
She's
painful.
A very
one.
Much new Guinan in, like, the timelessness, the kind of, like, hi, hey,
and,
what's going on?
And
like,
the kind of straight shooterness.
The fact that Guinan had a fucking rifle behind the bar on a Starfleet ship. I feel like Raffi also probably had a
Raffi's
rifle.
Raffi's full of a lot of cool surprises.
Like, there's true. Those little things and character flaws and character wonderful moments and also moments where you're just like, yeah, I would turn around and tell that person to fuck off.
Her unforgiving kid made me angry, but at the same time, like, they painted a pretty grim picture of her after the Mars attacks thing.
Yeah, like, so it's like, oh, this is just
you're a conspiracy theory wing nut drug addict, like, yeah, okay.
Not it's the good. Other side of the coin that's... No, well, I'm glad Starfleet and Star Trek is going to show what happens when it's not as pretty.
Yeah. When you don't get all the shiny promotions on the flagship, blah, blah. Yeah.
Exactly. When you're
and
not
I think
following.
I really want to see Q soon because I want him just to be like,
is Q? Has there been any rumor of Q?
I don't think I've actually heard anything that confirms Q.
Mm.
Beginning and end.
If there's any concern about his age, that's
Q.
Yes, but that's the thing. That beginning and end of TNG, there was Q. That book ended it. That's
I feel like there may be a fun
well, if you can't, if you're not, if you're just going to bring him back for, like, fan service.
I would expect it to be in season 2 because they're going to bring Guinan back for season 2. Mm. And Guinan to have. Him. Yeah, to have the two of them go at each other would be a lot of fun.
It would. And it would also bring back Data because Data's head was in San Francisco for 400 years.
Would bring back Data, though? That's a point, though.
But, like, Guinan hung around with Data's head for 400 years. And
I don't think she hung around in that cave for 400 years.
Bitch, please. She probably went back
just
to, like...
sitting there keeping Data's dusty-ass head.
I gotta tell you something.
So we go back to the newly freed Maddox, who is a mess, and he explains that he had sent Daj and Soji out into the world, specifically to the artifact and Boston, to try to sniff out the truth of the great conspiracy behind the artificial rebellion and Tal Shiar and all that, because he has a vague idea, but... no actual clues. Thanks, Bruce.
Mm-hmm.
And then Jurati kills him.
Yeah. Yeah. What did she say? It was just something she had to atone for. Was her part in
if you've seen what I've seen.
Oh no! You have. You were the very important part of this, and I will atone for that.
Yeah. Yeah, here's the thing, is I feel like she's had, like, at this point, we can say, I feel like she's had, like, you know, she's had a vision or something, like...
She's had Trump, there's
And this
trauma.
Is what annoys me, though, is, like, you are a doctor and a research scientist and all kinds of, like, very smart lady shit. Why would you not question that? Why would you believe that immediately?
I think it's because
enough
they're...
to kill the person you supposedly love, too. Like, damn, that's a lot.
Yeah, I think what they've done... is they've kind of powered up Vulcan mind melds So in the past, it was just kind of like, yeah, it's like, oh, I am now aware of this. But it seems in this case, it's like, no, I'm implanting it as if it's a memory.
I always thought that was now you have a traumatic folk and mind melts, though. Like, you know, you feel what I feel. It's you share that experience.
And then maybe the trauma that she's sharing is just so great that...
Yeah,
but
I'm still annoyed with her, though.
But in many episodes in Voyager where, like, you share, like, the, like, Vulcan, like, trauma of other things... How much of it is just forcing that onto the other person?
And oh, well, Voyager, though, everyone get over everything in about 10 minutes anyway.
Yeah, although I should point out that this is not occurring this episode.
Yeah, I was going to say
What does occur is, actually, the one last thing that does occur is while Raffi blows it, we find out that her son has knocked up a Romulan.
Was she Romulan or Vulcan? I couldn't tell.
I believe she was supposed to be Romulan.
It makes sense for the neighborhood. Like, yeah. Why would a bunch of Vulcans be hanging out on... Why would any Vulcan be hanging out on... Why is he hanging out on... Well, I guess he's a doctor, wasn't he? Or...
I think so.
Maybe he's there being helpful or something. Yeah. But Freeklad seems like a shite place to raise a child.
But also maybe, like, it may have good hospitals, because, like, you just go...
Probably get paid at the nose to be a doctor on Freecloud. Like,
I presume
whereas in the Federation,
like,
you probably get paid in prestige.
Yeah, I presume it's like, you know, Las Vegas, where, you know, like... The Freecloud...
Do you want to raise a child in Las Vegas?
In actual Las Vegas, off the strip, apparently not a bad place.
Yeah. School districts are pretty great.
Yeah, what we saw was the strip.
Okay, intriguing.
If you turn the camera, you see the rest of it.
Yeah.
That's great, it's just boring suburbs.
Yeah.
Just little boxes.
But it's got a really good stage. Suburbs. Like a really good stage.
Great schools. Really, amazing schools.
Bit of export chopping.
So, what... Oh, shit, I've forgotten the name of the segment.
Is it Make It So?
Yes,
Make It So. What do we want to make so at this point?
Exactly, because we've discussed everything in detail. And
I'm always going to say my Make It So is more legacy characters, and not in every episode all the time, but when you need them.
Fair.
Like, just put them in right. Mm-hmm. Don't keep them forever, but put them in right, because that respects me more than making them in every episode.
Yeah. Oh, shit, I totally forgot. And then Seven comes back and murders everyone.
Yeah, we alluded to that enough, but, like, good. Oh, yeah. And, like, blew her apart with, like, painful vaporizing settings.
Oh, yeah, no, that was some...
It's like, yeah, no, we want to make sure it hurt a little bit.
You gotta have that.
We want some punishment.
And I also love that she did the Jessica Fletcher, where she's just like, I'm gonna wait until you think you are so safe, and you know that everything is gonna be good, and then I was gonna be like... Mr. Seth Hazlitt, please come in.
I just thought it was funny that Picard was like, sure, go ahead, have some phasers. Like, it's obvious what you're doing, but I'm not there now, and you have made your decision.
So. Well, I also like to think that because they've made it clear that Picard isn't losing it. It's not that he's paying attention, but it's like he's never paid attention. And so maybe this has always been happening in his wake.
They're really painting his flaws very openly in this series.
The best
people are seeing
ever.
Them to his face. It's fantastic.
Oh, I can't wait until two episodes from now. We can talk about the latest main person to call him Aaron.
The best moment ever, though, is when Seven and him talk about regaining their humanity.
Oh, yeah, and they're both like, nope.
And they're just like,
so
did you regain all of it? And they're like,
working on it.
I never really
got there. 20 years later, work in progress.
Oh, and I was just like, oh my god, thank you.
That was a nice bonding moment when those two finally meet.
But I also like how they weren't really on friendly terms either.
No, they were
on instant respectful terms.
Yeah.
Though. Like, that was good.
They both feel like galactic wardens in the fact that they carry a responsibility for space.
Yeah.
And, like, not in a I'm in charge, but, like... but, like, somebody's actually getting shit on over here, right there.
Yeah.
But, why? Like... Well, yeah, she, like, saw what was happening in the neutral zone and couldn't leave people without any form of protection for the last, what, 15 years?
And
is just doing it by habit.
Seven's
like,
cool.
Yeah.
That's... badass. She's
pretty epic.
She doesn't like, seem like she would have much time at all for most of the Voyager crew at this point.
Yeah, no.
She seems like if she ran across Harry Kim's path, she would probably just punch him in the face.
Yeah.
Yes. I would, yes, I would be okay with Belana coming back as a ranger. I would be okay with B'Elanna coming back as a ranger.
No.
Only B'Elanna's in passing and, like, in the background.
No, B'Elanna's been infected by Tom, so she's going to be lame now.
She's going to be lame. Oh, even her kid's going to be lame, because she's half lame.
It's the Paris lameness.
Oh, she's half lame, and she probably has nails for
her. Their daughter and Worf's son.
Oh, Alexander.
Alexander and...
Wait a minute. No, there's hope. Because it's just like how when two hippies have a child, it becomes a stockbroker or a conservative.
Oh, that's true.
So they go back to full
Worf. That milquetoast bullshit coupling of the two most boring Klingons ever to exist would probably, like... Oh, man. Their kid would be, like...
Best?
Kalis the... What? Kalis the second at this point, maybe?
The return of
Kalis. The return? Yeah.
Kalis the
greatest Klingon that ever lived.
Who's your favorite female Klingon?
I fucking hate the Klingons 90% of the time.
There was three really good ones. There was Worf's counterpart in advisor to...
Worf's baby mama?
Yeah. Yeah, like his Beyonce to the...
She was fine. Klingons, but...
She also was a wonderful actress who played, like, so many fucking characters. Like, she's so many Romulans and so many... She's like, hey, we need somebody to do this. She's like, put me in makeup.
I love how everyone was so mad with the Discovery Klingons, and I was like, oh, they made the Klingons interesting?
Yeah.
Yeah, I hate that.
How terrible.
Klingons.
My favorite female Klingon is definitely Lady Martok.
Winner chicken dinner.
Yeah.
Yes.
For the absolute shit she's she gives awesome. Jasmine.
Cirilla.
She's like, yeah, candles are fucked.
That's great.
I don't want that shit.
In the future, if you're going to be bothered to obtain real candles. Oh, she's great. Yeah, no, that's the one.
Lady Martok.
That's great. Oh, I need to make it so.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I had to make it so and I lost it. Do you have one?
My make it so at this point would be, I hope that characters don't appear and or die constantly. It would be nice for like a little continuity.
Mm-hmm.
I say this as having seen a couple of episodes, so
mm-hmm.
It's also a bit pinball and dark.
Yes.
Dark.
Yeah.
It's a little pinball dark. There's gonna be edges.
Bing, bing, bing. You never know where you're really quiet. Yeah.
I want more of the holograms.
Yes.
I want more of the Serena holograms. They're amazing.
I love that they've gotten to the point where it's just no fucking holograms. Holograms out the ass.
Yeah.
Here's the question.
Oh, she clearly just wrote over the programming.
No, but like, are holograms considered?
Oh, sorry. Synths?
Synthetic.
No, clearly.
And this is kind of cool because it would be like a legal distinction in Starfleet, which Measure of a Man was the perfect.
Ooh, line. You know why? I absolutely bet.
Hmm.
Because the Doctor, as far as we know, is still the only hologram with a mobile emitter. So every From hologram is dependent on is dependent on systems that you control.
Yeah, every
whereas a synth can just walk around and grab a gun and kill you. Like anytime a hologram goes kind of slightly awry, you can just shut down the entire hologrid.
Yeah,
or you know, go to a room without emitters. Like turn the safeties on for fuck's sake. It can throttle you all at once, and you're like, this tickles.
Speaking of safeties, I like how it's something I noticed recently. I went back and watched previous episodes, and it was there. Their holograms, like the hollow panels, so not on the holodeck, but just the control panels.
Are you talking like the ship controls?
Yeah, the ship controls.
Those are awesome.
They interact with those, obviously that's what I mean is they're hard light. When they hit them, there's actual like contact and response. It's not just like waving your hands through something. It's hard light.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Okay. That's
so you can feel it.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I saw the captain, the guy who plays the captain, was on Will Wheaton's show.
Yeah, yeah.
And he was talking about, they were having a like serious, nice moment of bonding about how they've each like they have a way that they start the ship and put it into warp and stuff like that. Because, you know, if you do it in three episodes out of the season, it has to look the same every time.
Yeah, like, or else nerds will be up your fucking ass.
Exactly, yeah. And those, and I mean, Will Wheaton's such a big nerd in a good way. And like, no, I thought that was lovely. I thought that was a nice touch.
That's a really fun show to have in correspondence to Picard.
I agree. I haven't seen the one with Seven on it yet, or with Jerry Ryan on it yet.
It also had Roddenberry's son, and that was really nice because there was a moment between Will Wheaton and him where he's just like, your dad was really cool, and he's like, you're letting a lot of cool stuff happen.
Will Wheaton's so thank you. I'm such a fan.
Yeah, he's like, you're actually the person who's letting it happen, and thank you.
His son is pretty cool, and I'm not just saying that because he follows me on Twitter.
Oh, nice. So alright, speaking of Twitter, we should attribute where to find ourselves and then mosey on, because we have a long day's night worth of episodes.
Indeed, we have more
to record. Blizzard also stopped us. That was the other thing.
Oh, yes, Blizzard.
We ran out of power, and then we finally got power again, and there was an ice storm.
We're past the wall. So sometimes you get storms.
Yeah, sometimes we are north of the wall. Yeah, it's true.
Thank you so much for listening to Please Won't You Shut Up, a Star Trek podcast. If you enjoyed it, please like, share, and subscribe. And if you're watching this on YouTube, please ding the thing for more updates.
Ding!
You can find us at youtube.com/mygenderscinema?
Yeah.
Nice.
Don't forget to visit Here You Go Productions on Patreon, where you'll find this and other podcasts and videos, plus much, much more. And please show your support by pledging as little as $1 a month, so we can keep bringing these shows to you.
Doesn't that unlock bonus content? Like,
there is bonus
our
content
hazardously
early
our
content.
Hazardous and untruthfully named backdoor cigarettes. Listen, none of us smoke cigarettes, but backdoor cigarettes are a serious thing in this part of the world.
It's when you have something to say. I have to tell you.
In our exclusive content zone, backdoor cigarettes.
It's also the Jersey Shore somewhere.
Well, I mean, until next time, oh dear God, to absent friends.
Just doing our part.
You bitches.